Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. That includes today, of course, when the Canucks will take on the Edmonton Oilers in a couple hours' time from Rogers Place in Edmonton, where Connor Garland is public enemy number one.
Is he?
I mean, it feels that way.
That's what it feels like, yes. I mean, I've seen a lot of pushback on social media from Oilers fans saying it's not about Garland at all. We don't care about Garland.
Oh, okay.
At all. Like he's not an issue. We couldn't care less about Connor Garland.
It's
we
about, know Connor it's about Garland the refs. Is.
It's about the refs.
They need to make the calls.
So you know how the truth is going to be revealed?
Mm-hmm.
Does Garland get booed tonight?
Hopefully Connor Garland's in the starting lineup and we find out right away if Garland's going to get some boo birds at Rogers Place. I think like Garland's the type of player where it would fuel him even more.
Oh, I think it'd be great. I think he loves playing the villain.
Yeah. Loves being that villain, the little villain.
He's a big Jaws fan, right?
Yes.
You think he dreams of being the shark?
maybe. It's possible. Why wouldn't he? But it is... where the Canucks are in the standings, we're now into the back half of the season. They're kind of all starting to get big for Vancouver, who needs to put together a little bit of a streak here to get back into a postseason spot.
You nailed it with streak.
Yeah.
Tonight, are we going to learn anything tonight?
No.
In a single game, right? Because we know they can beat Edmonton. We know they can put together a good game. They have done that, right? The thing is, win consecutive games, right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So I'm not going to... I want them to win. I want them to play well, right? And they'll get credit for doing those things. But it's not going to inform me anything new about this team, right?
No.
The only thing we're going to learn from this team that's going to be new is if they put some wins together.
They're desperate for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's start with one. It starts with one, right?
You can put together a good performance tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, which not going to be easy. I know they don't have McDavid, but you know they lost on Tuesday to Washington, outshot them 32-14, lost obviously to the Canucks as well on Saturday. So this is going to be a hungry team to also show that they can have some success with McDavid out of the lineup like they did last year. It's going to be a fired up Leon Draisaitl. You know it's still not going to be easy even with McDavid out of the Oilers lineup, but you have to put together a good performance. You got to bounce back. I mean, your coach is calling you out. He's got the "I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed" kind of mantra now with this team, and that's worse than mad. We all know that. We've all been there. Yeah. You don't want to be the person that somebody is disappointed in, and that's where the Canucks find themselves right now. So I do expect a response. But I've seen you put together one good performance, but you're going to have to do it again on Saturday for me to feel like this team is somewhat headed in a better direction.
Well, disappointed dad is like, you're not even worth being mad about anymore. Like, I've been mad so often about this. Like, I'm not doing this.
Yes.
Like, I'm just not doing this
anymore. And if you've heard Sat with some of his rants, especially on the post game show at different points over the years and at times this year, he's 10 times more mad off the air as well.
Yes, I'm usually... Well, I mean, the person who's been the most mad has been Bic.
Yes.
Bic was livid the other night.
Well, Bic really dislikes poor hockey.
He did. He does. I mean, he was really mad on Saturday, and like he was blowing up my phone on Sunday, and even seeing him yesterday, he was mad about it. Like he was legitimately pissed off about what happened against the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
And like so, yeah. But I forget what day it is. We were sick too. I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Tuesday against the Buffalo Sabres.
I thought it was Saturday.
Bic was very mad.
Yeah, he was very mad. I said Saturday.
We're closer Tuesday. To this Saturday day than we are than last Saturday.
Since Friday is a bit of a blur. Like we're at Thursday now. I don't know how like 6 days expired since, right?
Well, 3 days we were. shack it up with our new best friend, the porcelain princess. So.
Yeah, it was.
Sounds like Kevin Lankinen's been going through it as well, too.
Yeah, so. it's been pretty rough. I mean, a lot of people have been going through it.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of fun. But, I mean, I'm kind of at the, I'm not even getting mad about this anymore. That's kind of where I'm at now. I'm kind of like
you're kind of in the show me.
Yeah,
moment.
100%. And I want to see... Again,
show me something different.
All of us, and not all of us, there are some that want to see it crash and burn, and they want to see it lead to change. But every loss, I think, makes it even harder to make a move.
Yeah.
That's the problem here, right? So, I mean, I think we're well beyond the point of a single result expediting change. And I think that happened after the Kings game.
Yeah.
It did. They made an earnest effort to do something.
And... ultimately, it didn't go through, as we know. But, you know, the front office reached a point of, okay, we need to make a change or this isn't working. And that's the situation that you're in now. But you still have a playoff spot on the table.
Yeah.
And whether or not you're making a change to your core, you're still going to play for that. You're still going to push for that with the roster that you do have.
Yeah, I mean, you should, right? I mean, especially given the circumstance you find yourself in.
Yeah,
with the team right now, and as much as you know, they may end up being a 500 team. That means they'll be an 80 some point team.
Yeah,
like the floor isn't going to fall off for them to really get into contention to get a high draft pick or win the lottery. If they do, it'll be a miracle, right? Like regardless of what happens, even if it is like the Devils last year had 82 points.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that could happen to this team if they don't get their act together. You're a 500 team and you're well below the playoff bar in a year that maybe a team with 88 points gets in. Like, that could be a year this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, a sub-90 point team gets a second wild card spot in the Western Conference. That's what it's kind of trending towards right now, right? So, they're not, even if they trade one guy, it's not going to have them free fall. They might still make the playoffs, right? But ultimately, I think they're at a point where, so far, there's nothing worthwhile for them to take.
Yeah.
And even if they are willing to take a little bit less than they wanted to make a deal happen, I think it's so far below their expectation that they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's going to increase your leverage is success.
Success, those players playing better, stringing together a hot streak or two for this player in question specifically, maybe a strong showing at the Four Nations face-off could help. And also, as I said yesterday, getting closer to the trade deadline will also help move this situation forward. But for now, you're trying to find results. And we're going to get more into this when we get to the open a little bit after 4:30. Landon Ferraro is going to join us here in a little bit. We'll get his take on the current state of the team, what he's seeing, what he saw against Buffalo on Tuesday, and how they can try to correct some of these mistakes. Because tonight, Tockett yesterday, I mean, if you want to have fun, go to Disneyland, which is a quote that's he's never going to live down, at least not for me, at the very least. And the other part was that was the most disappointing performance in my time here as coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Like, he's starting to be he's at his wit's end a little bit with how this team is not finding consistency, is not, you know, as he put it, questioning some of the players' efforts on Tuesday as well against the Buffalo Sabres. That game was there for them to win. That game was there for them to put the sword to the Buffalo Sabres, excuse the pun, but they had every opportunity to put that game away and not even make it a contest in the third period that Buffalo could get back into, but the players just didn't have it in them for whatever reason to do that. So what's that response look like tonight? I'm curious because one game responses, as we've talked about, maybe don't count so much for this team given what we've seen in the blowout win over Florida, the win over the Colorado Avalanche, what they did against the Maple Leafs, what they did Saturday against Edmonton.
Okay, well, how about this? How about if you do have a multi-goal lead in the third, keep pushing through.
Yeah.
Do the things you haven't done, even in victories.
Yeah.
He mentions you're sitting back too much. Like, play a full 60.
Yeah.
That would be impressive. That could maybe teach us something.
Show that you're not going to sit on your heels with a lead in the third period, which is something they've done far too often this season. All right, let's bring in our next guest. It is Landon Ferraro. He joins us every Thursday here on Canucks Central as our Canucks analyst. Thanks for this, Landon. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're just discussing Tockett's comments a little bit from yesterday, and he's at the point where he's not mad, he's disappointed, and as we all know, that's ultimately worse, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was one of the Edmonton guys asking today, and he literally said, like, it's like your parents saying, you know, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And when you have, especially a guy that's so fiery, like, just, you know, watching Tockett, like, in everything that he does, he has so much passion that for him to be, like, you know, imagine sitting in that room and he comes in and he's just calm and collected and he's just like, guys, that, what was that? Like, that's not okay. Like, that's more troubling because, again, like, at least when you get yelled at, you can kind of get fired up because of it. You take a little offense to it, even though you know he's right. But you can kind of find your fire that way. But when it comes in and it's calm and more just very matter of fact, like, there's nothing to be mad at but yourself at that point. And it makes it tough.
Is it maybe like the last card you can play? And I don't mean like for talk as like, you know, him as a coach here, but you've tried everything else in terms of like yelling at them or challenging them. Is that kind of the last card you play to try to get them to finally do that self-reflection, so to speak?
I mean, you would hope so. And you, like, yeah, I think that's kind of the last thing. But, like, you know, it does get to a point that it doesn't matter if you have the best coach in the league, the worst coach in the league, or the worst coach in league history. Like, the guys themselves have to be able to turn it around. It doesn't matter what the system is. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Like, when it comes down to this team, it's like when their efforts are there, like when the games are there and they play well, it's because they skate hard, they're hard on a forecheck, they're relentless, they stay on top of players, like they help everywhere around the ice. And when it's not, it's just they don't get to a forecheck. They don't use their feet, they don't use any of it. So, like, again, like it's something where the guys just need to get it through their own heads that they need to play. Like, it doesn't matter what the coach says almost at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, Tockett's clearly, he's running out of things to say about how disappointed he is. And we've seen it going all the way back to last year when, towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, when the Canucks started having a little bit of trouble with holding on to leads in third periods. Tockett said, I'm not asking them to sit back. You know, I want them to stay aggressive. I want you to keep playing the same way that you did to get the 3-0 lead. Where is that disconnect, and how does it creep into your game as a player, as a team, that you sit on your heels in a third period with a lead, even though you might know in the back of your mind, like, this isn't the best way to close out a game?
And that's the crazy part, is while you're sitting in that type of a game and you know, like, you know, okay, we need to keep pushing, and you know, you've talked about it, you say it, and then you start seeing your team sitting back, and, like, everyone can see it, and yet, like, it's hard to break yourself and the team out of that. And, you know, I think a lot of it comes to, like, the guys got to have belief in themselves. They got to have belief in their team that, you know, they're designed to play a certain way. We have to play it. And for the Canucks, that is attacking, killing time in the offensive zone, being heavy on pucks and cycling. And when you don't have the right things moving forward, like, it doesn't matter, again, like, it's in the back of your head that you don't trust that you're going to be able to hold off long enough. So then you get really defensive. And again, like, I think it's more a mindset than anything.
And as far as trying to get out of this, I guess maybe the team can draw some inspiration out of the New York Rangers, who've been through so much and they're finally turning a corner. Now, obviously, they've made a couple of trades, and perhaps that is part of the reason they have found a turnaround eventually. But can you, I mean, I know you can get through this, but it just seems like it's just getting so much heavier and heavier, and it just seems like everybody's kind of waiting for something to happen one way or another. And I guess that something could be a winning streak, but it's just so hard to predict if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a long time since they've scored back or won back-to-back games. Like, things have added up over time, and it's only getting harder as the league is so tight this year, and like, you can't afford little setbacks anymore. Like, everyone's too tight. Everyone's playing good hockey right now, and you need to grab points where you can. And, you know, a little bit of it, I think that, you know, for the Canucks, it's at that point now where the trade, like a trade or trades need to happen, or they need to come out and say nothing is going to happen, because until either one of those go, like, it's going to be in everyone's back of their mind. And with how the year has gone, like, Sat, you just said it, like, it's heavy, and you just need a conclusion one way or another.
Yeah, it almost feels like, and look, we all know how great a player JT is, but he's the one under focus. It seems like the front office is gauging whether or not it may become addition by subtraction to make that kind of a move right now, which is tough because, man, JT at his best is, you know, a top 20 center in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not envious of Patrick Alvin and Rutherford and the rest of the management team in this situation. Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I played a lot of NHL growing up on, you know, video games and doing GM mode, and like, I was stressing out over those potential games. Out a big guy, right? Like, it makes it tough. Like, you're sitting there, and in no way are you saying, and you know, thinking about it as in like, JT's a bad player. Like, you know what he is, you know what he's done for the organization, and the type of player that, once he gets out of this funk, because he's going to, he's too good of a player that cares way too much. Like, he's going to get back to form to some sense. And you just have to be okay with whatever deal you make, that regardless of what happens, that's not our concern anymore. You move forward with the pieces that are there if that's the way that they go.
Yeah, and ultimately, we'll see what happens. And I mean, I know people are expecting, you know, it be JT or even Pettersson. His name's always out there, too. And until, you know, the trade deadline comes and goes, I think these things won't quiet down. But could something else still be something that wakes them up? Like, let's say there is a trade, but it does not involve those two players. Can that be enough of a earth-moving move to kind of get everybody kind of past the hump, so to speak?
I mean, yeah, like, again, like, it's not like we're sitting here saying, like, the team is terrible and there's no potential for them and the year's lost, right? Like, it would be easier if they were consistently just not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But they've shown so many glimpses of what this team can and should look like that you're right. Like, it almost just seems that, again, like, just something needs to happen. And it just needs to be, whether it's a small addition or you're doing the big trade, like, there just needs to be a shift in the dressing room, a little new life maybe of, you know, like, it is understated of when someone comes from another good situation into, you know, a spot where there's been some more noise, like, just some fresh blood in the room with a bit more of just optimism hasn't been beaten down as much with all the extra stuff going on with their team this year. Like, that can breathe some life into a room as well. But again, like, I think the biggest thing is just the guys having a little bit of a breakthrough themselves, and just, like, I would almost just like to see the guys say, like, okay, no matter what, moving forward, like, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to go for it. Like, if we're, and talk, it's talked about this as well. Like, if we're going to mess up and give up a goal, it's because we were too aggressive trying to make our play. I don't mean throwing behind the back passes all over the place and things like that, but like, just err on the side of too much effort, you know, like, just go at it that way. At least you can start having some good feelings build up, and you don't, like, who knows, like, the way this Canuck team plays, like, you start kind of going about it that way, like, the momentum can build quickly. You've seen it in other places.
Yeah, we have. I mean, That 2019 St. Louis run is forever going to live fresh in our minds of how quickly things turned around for them and what they did with the momentum they carried through the second half of the year. And I guess, you know, all of this is really picked up steam because, you know, the players have even admitted that some of the noise has affected their play on the ice. Besser has said it. Other players have said it. Tockett's been asked a few times now about all of the noise and how it's crept into the room a little bit, and you see it on the ice. I mean, the two of the three goals that they give up against Buffalo are just blown assignments off of faceoffs, and we saw it last week in the two blowouts against Winnipeg and LA. Just details of the game that this team wasn't missing last year are being missed, not on a nightly basis, but in some of these uglier losses we've seen recently.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it would be pretty safe to say, and I wouldn't have said this while I was still playing, not because I'm, like, trying to hide anything, but I wouldn't have had the perspective of now being retired and looking at it from the outside for the first time. But, I mean, none of the guys are going to admit fully to what extent it actually has affected them with everything that's gone on this year, but... And, you know, you wouldn't expect them to admit to it fully because they don't even fully realize how much it has weighed them down and things like that. So, I mean, like, looking at it now, like, of course it affects them. It's their job. It's the thing they care most about outside of their family and their life, I'm assuming, because, you know, like, to be in the NHL, man, you got to love the game because you're putting a lot into it. So when things aren't going right, like, you're thinking about it constantly. You're trying to find solutions. Like, even if you're the fourth liner that plays 7 minutes a night, like, you're constantly thinking about how can I make those 7 minutes better? Maybe that's the difference for our team. Like, it's a lot that goes into it and a lot on your mentality. And, you know, it does get tough, but of course it affects them. And it weighs them down to the point that they're not free anymore. They can't make those same plays they do because they're a little more balled up, a little more tense than normal. Like, everything starts adding on, and it's tough to get out of. That's where, again, like, there just needs to be some sort of shift to where they just kind of let it go and just say, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to go at it that way. Like, I think that's, you know, outside a move, I think that's their best course of action right now, is just attacking every shift like they're going to go try and score a goal. Like, you have to start trying to put all your cards on the table.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, the thing that was encouraging about the game against Buffalo, and again, it just really sucks, honestly, that they blew the lead in the third and lost the way they did, because Pedersen had a decent game and so did JT. And if both those guys play well and they get saves, like, there is a blueprint here, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, we've seen multiple wins where it's, you know, against very good teams where it's not like they squeaked out the win either. Like, they controlled the game. They shut down chances against. Like, they weren't giving up anything. They were barely giving up shots in these games. So, like, it's one thing if a team goes from, you know, being a A-plus team and then they're an off night and they're down to a B and they're still there, but... Like, it bounces from they can't get any of their game going, like, no forecheck, no pressure around the ice, to the next game, they literally don't let the other team touch the puck and they control everything. Like, that's the hard and frustrating part because it's such a vast difference.
So tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, do you think Connor Garland is going to have to answer for the most egregious missed holding call in NHL history?
I mean, do they come back with, like, a hard hook? Like, what is the response to that? Like, I loved Tockett's, you know, words the other day of just, like it's a hold. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I get it if he two-handed him, but, like, not, like, we just, he held him. He gave him a hug. He was just saying, good job. You're a really good player.
Yeah, and I will say, though, like, I think it is one of those things that has the fans so fired up, and if he gets booed when he touches the puck, which I expect he will by the Edmonton crowd, like, I think it could create a fun environment, even if the players don't want to make this out into an all-out war.
Yeah, of course. And just think of Garland. Like, he's going to relish that. Like, there's plenty of guys that they get the boo treatment, and you can tell that it affects them. And I would imagine we're going to be able to tell that it affects Garland too, but somehow that those little legs are going to be turning even faster moving around the ice. Like, it is what it is. Like, that guy's a gamer, and he will do anything to win. Like, the funny thing is, though, is, to, you know, like, you, again, like, not to rehash the whole thing, but, like, you know, just talking to one of my buddies that used to coach midget, a couple-time BC midget coach of the year, and, like, he's like, I would tell my guys in the last 10 seconds, just start grabbing guys.
Yeah.
Like, it is a very good defense. Like, why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, the arm's going to go up, but now they've got the offensive team has to make a decision. Like, do we try to get them to touch the puck so we can go 6-on-4 here? Or like, what do we just play out the 10 seconds and try to score anyways? It causes chaos. And, you know, I wonder if we just see more teams, more players employ this, especially against the Edmontons or Colorados of the world, where it's just like, hey, man, I'm going to take my bets, take my chances that they're not going to call a penalty. And even if they do, we're just closer to time running out anyway. So we're still in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing would be that when the teams start doing it more and more blatantly like that, when it's a team that has, like, you know, one guy that you have to key on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Edmonton, you take McDavid out. Okay, well, now you're playing 5-on-5, but Dreisaitl's still out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the teams where it's literally, like, you have your 1A, and that's kind of it for the end of the game. Like, that's where it gets a little more dicey. But just like everything else in the game of hockey, coaches have done a very good job to the point of too good that they make it harder and harder to score. They find ways to clog stuff up, and it is what it is. You got to just push through it and try and score some goals.
I'm going to be honest, Landon, if I ever got frustrated in GM mode in NHL, I would just turn forced trades on, and then it was okay. Then I could just make any trade I wanted.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest with you, too. From the very start, I would just have it turned on to both the easiest. So I still feel like I'm fleecing them, you know?
I'm always winning that trade. Landon, you're the best. Thanks for this.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There he is. Landon Ferraro, Canucks analyst, joining us here on Canucks Central, as he does every single Thursday. HGTV has a new address. All the latest HGTV shows are now available on Channel 409 on Rogers Xfinity TV. Coming up, we'll get to the Open and what kind of offers are coming for JT Miller. Do the Canucks have to change their approach and what types of offers they're willing to listen to for JT Miller? That's coming up on Canucks Central.